How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Absent-Minded Podcast. This is episode 86, recorded on January 28th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Travis Stockton, at Ray Charlesard, and with me, as always, on the top of the Discord window, at least to me, Andrew Crandall.
Hey there, everybody. Feeling good? How are you? Ready to talk about some video games?
At Andrew Loves Video Games. And here against his will on the bottom of my Discord window is Ethan Newbolt.
Hey, how's it going?
At Soulsbjorn. It's good. That's a new way I can introduce you guys, because it's all going to be random depending on where y'all are on my Discord layout.
Discord, yeah.
I'm squished in between the two of you in the video. And speaking of, we are recording on video the first time. Well, we're not recording the video, but we can see each other.
Yeah, this is the first time, besides those few special occasions where we were in person, that we're actually able to see each other in months. It's nice. I get to see Ethan's beautiful face over here.
I don't know how beautiful it is. He's got a bad look on connection. His face most of the time. When I look down at the window, he's just pissed. But it's fair. He's using like an ancient Chromebook, so I understand.
That's another.
He's also like, we're always looking at Ethan in the past, because I don't know about you, Drew, but he's like 5 seconds delayed.
Oh, no, he's the same for me as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I always see how he looks right before. It's like, I feel like a news correspondent.
Right.
Because like, I have to wait for Ethan to hear for the rest of my thing to get to him before I can see his
now
reaction.
Now we have all the way from up the road, Ethan Newbolt. Ethan, how you doing, buddy?
Hold on, wait, he's
coming in.
You got the finger
out
of the ear.
That's
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the webcam does suck. That is right, John. How are you guys doing this week?
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of news happening. Lots of weird stuff going on.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on, but
we'll get into that a little bit later. But I gotta say, I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to play this week, which is why I played everything.
I should probably pull up the doc. I
played a little bit of all the things.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Like I think I kind of finally hit the wall with Assassin's Creed, where I just kind of like, I'm going to put it down for a little bit, you know, because like, you know, I've already put fucking 40 hours in this game and I'm only like maybe halfway done. You know, I'm at like a 170 power level. And, you know, there's stuff up to like a 320 power level. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is just going to take forever. You know, I got to like just relax and play some other stuff. That's why I jumped back into Halo for a little bit. I just got the itch, you know. I think it was because I'd been watching a couple of Chris Raygun videos. And
he loves his Halo.
Yeah, he loves his Halo. And I just I got the itch back for it. And I'll tell you one thing. Being back after so many years, I suck. I'm god awful. I'm so terrible.
Were we ever any good, though?
That is true. Yeah.
I always felt like disadvantaged with Halo. I'll never forget the first time I was playing Halo 2 with our buddy Jared on like his original Xbox. Mm-hmm. And it's coming from like all my shooters were on computer. And I'm trying to like play with the little fucking dinky gamepad, and I don't even understand how he's moving so quick through these levels, because one, it's all squeezed onto like a little 20-inch CRT and we're playing split screen, and then trying to like control what feels like the most sluggish controls in the world, because it's old Halo, and I'm trying to move the camera on the stick and he's just destroying me with no issue. And I was like, I'm pretty bad at this.
Yeah,
but it wasn't until years later when finally 360 came out that I was any good on at Halo. Halo, didn't they just start like a new season 2 or something on the Master Chief Collection, like some sort of new content drops or whatever?
Yeah, there was like a 9 gig update, but I have no idea what they added. Gotcha. I've just been playing like the social games.
I finally tried what Ethan told us about last week, the Resident Evil Village Maiden demo.
So jealous of you guys.
It's scary.
It wasn't scary.
I was scared.
It wasn't
scary. They was playing on my fears for sure. That 3D audio is so fucking good in that game. Yeah. I think that is next to, it might even be better than Demon's Souls's. Like, and maybe it's just that environment I'm in where they're throwing so many sounds at you and stuff. But It was like being able to tell that like whatever sound you're hearing is specifically supposed to sound like it's behind you, like really faintly, and
the laughing
being able to
of like
the laughing, and I assume it was like the daughters laughing
mm-hmm. like at you the whole time.
And there's this one part where you're walking when you're still on the in the cellar area, and you're walking past, and you can hear that something's on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, that like the thing, the part that's boarded off, and yeah. it was just like being banged up against. Yeah, that was really creepy.
Yeah, dude, a lot of awesome audio design in that short little segment. Looks fucking amazing too. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of spots where, you know, if you shove the camera right up to it, the textures don't look so good, but like as a overall picture, looks fantastic. And a lot of people were talking about the frame drops when you walk into the big open hall. Manor hallway with mansion. Like the chandelier and stuff. I didn't really feel it. I mean, maybe it's something I noticed about swinging my camera around and trying to do like combat, but
yeah, that's what it was. It wasn't necessarily like the first, you know, when you walk in, it was just like moving your camera fast in front of it. Kind of, you could see it.
Yeah. It certainly felt like the level of frame drop that like they could optimize before the game actually comes out itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other token though, like it's a pretty small area that you're in this demo, and like the game is supposed to be set in obviously a village that's a bit more open, so it'll be interesting to see if how any of that comes down. I'm sure that was intentional to hide a little bit of that while they're maybe still fleshing the rest of that out.
Yeah, they could give us they won't, but like we could do it the whole nother demo with like just the village portion.
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be interesting. I wouldn't mind a second demo, because they actually did do two demos for Resident Evil 7, because they had the big demo where you're with the film crew and stuff and you're going through the house.
And even the VR exclusive one. Even the remakes. I don't know if they had two, but they had those time demos.
They had time demos. Yeah, they were. It was one each. But yeah, they each had a time demo. Yeah, because those were cool. Because, yeah, it was basically this like, here's the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Get as far as you can.
Yeah, get as far as you can, as fast as you can. You know?
Yeah. Because, yeah, there were people that were getting like deep into RE2 because they just know like exactly how to do everything. And there is still like a hard cutoff point where they're like, hey, we didn't think you'd get here that quick. But at least they planned for it. Because, yeah, you can imagine like someone speed runs the whole fucking game in 8 minutes and the timer gives you like 15. And you're like, oh, fuck, wasn't expecting that. But, yeah, that demo is really cool. If you do have a PlayStation 5, I definitely recommend checking that out. It's like 15 minutes long. Definitely gets the idea across. And then I think they did say like next month. It was going to come to other platforms. So, Drew, you'll get to try it soon on Xbox, I'm sure. Just a little longer. Mm-hmm. I also played through all of Call of the Sea because I saw some people shouting that out on Twitter. It's we've seen this before just because it was one of the games that was shown in the Xbox showcase when they were just like the big third party game showcase. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty. It's basically a first person kind of adventure puzzle game with a lot of like H.P. Lovecraft tones to it, but it's not a horror game. So it's kind of neat where it plays on some of like the weirder ideas and stuff of Lovecraft without dipping into like it's trying to like be cosmic horror or anything like that. So I won't spoil too much about the game, but it was just a fun little, you know, this you play a woman who her husband went to this island on an expedition looking for a cure for this weird disease that she has that's mm-hmm. like affecting her skin and her hands and stuff, and it's making her frail and faint, and you slowly realize that she's like a fish person.
I was about to say it's always a fucking fish person.
And like it's from this like ancient civilization or whatever, and that itself is not really spoilers, because the second you hear H.P. Lovecraft, you're like, oh,
it's fish people.
You're gonna be a fish lady.
Usually it's fish people.
But yeah, it was really fun. I was able to like sit down and play the whole thing over like a couple of days. It's on Game Pass again, so there's no like price commitment if you have that. And it's really, really pretty. There's a couple of framey issues, but I think for the most part, it's 4K, 60 frames per second, looks gorgeous. There's a couple weird things with it visually where they do some weird, like shadowy vignette looking things that kind of make you feel like your TV's breaking sometimes. But for the most part, it looks good. It was fun. It was an entertaining story. That I played Donut County. Nice. You guys heard of this one?
I never played
it. I have heard of it. Yeah, I think it. I saw it the other day on Games Pass whenever I was just scrolling through it.
Yeah, this is another one you can literally play in a sitting. Basically, the premise is that you technically play the raccoon, but it's about this girl and a raccoon that own a donut shop, except the raccoon doesn't know what donuts are. And when people order them, he sends a hole to them that is a hole in the ground that as things fall into it, it slowly expands. And so each level you're trying to like consume everything in the level. So you start off as eating like pieces of garbage and grass and stuff.
Yeah.
And get bigger and bigger and bigger, like eating people's pets until eventually you're like consuming the whole house and like these buildings and shit. And it was oddly relaxing and like really fucking funny too. Like in the cutscenes in between, because the most of the story is set after you've done all this stuff in between each level.
Yeah.
And everyone in the town is just like pissed off at you because you've been, you know, ruining their businesses and like dropping, they're all stuck in this hole underground now. And it's just really cute and funny and another really, really fun Game Pass game.
Yeah.
But I think this one is on everything and it's fairly cheap. So if you don't have Game Pass, I know it's on Switch. It's done really well there.
Right.
It might even be on mobile because like the gameplay is so simple. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to just like do it on a touchscreen.
Mm. Kind of reminds me of like a Goose Game or like a Katamari Damacy.
It's way up there. Yeah. Less so Katamari Damacy because at least that has real gameplay mechanics. Okay. Like there's some strategy to it. This is a lot easier, a lot sillier. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very much like Goose Game where a lot of it's just you're just there for the last.
Goose Game was hard.
It was. There were some hard parts of Goose Game, too. You're right. I never beat it.
Really?
I got outgoosed by the geese.
Yeah, I never beat it either.
It's not that hard.
It's rough. It's the Dark Souls of Goose Games.
I mean, I didn't get the platinum, but it's not that hard to beat it.
Well, if you didn't get the platinum, did you even play it, man?
Yeah, I did.
Because I 100%ed Call of the Sea and Donut County. I also 100%ed The Council.
Ooh.
So this is one it's been on my like list for a while, but I kept forgetting it existed.
Is this another Games Pass thing or?
No, this was not. I bought this, but it's on sale on PlayStation Store for like 13 or 14 bucks right now.
Okay.
It's a Telltale Games kind of adventure game
mm-hmm.
where essentially you're playing a guy who gets invited to this Lord Mortimer's Island, who's this guy who's like super wealthy, and all these like important people in the world all come here because they're part of this illustrious council. And it's very much like a secret society kind of like Illuminati type game
mm-hmm.
sort of thing where you're kind of confused why you're here. Cause you're looking for your mom who's been like missing. And she like had been a part of these groups and stuff.
Right.
And so like one of the first characters you fucking meet is George Washington. So it's set in like 1796 or something like that. Well, because he's part of like this secret society council thing.
Of course. Yeah.
Along with like Napoleon Bonaparte and a couple of other people who I don't know if they're like supposed to be famous characters. I just didn't know their names.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically it's this council that they get together and they decide like how the world is going to be shaped. So you have like these emissaries from like France and Germany and Spain and America and stuff. They're deciding like how, like making the big plays that we're going to be doing, like to decide the future of the world. And I don't want to get too much into the story without spoiling it, but it was just interesting. It was a fun little, again, Telltale Game style thing. If you are interested at all in like secret society shit, like an Illuminati conspiracies, it was a fun little game. And then those are the ones I beat. And I've also been kind of toying around with Spyro Reignited Trilogy and Sackboy A Big Adventure. Just as my platformers I'm just playing little bits of.
Yeah.
I haven't spent too much time on either of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Spyro's been fun as fuck, but I wish it was 60 FPS on the next-gen consoles. Because playing all these other games and then jumping into Spyro feels sluggish.
It's like playing Spyro really is literally like that Pedro Pascal meme that's going around right now. You're like, this is good.
It could be better.
It could be better.
Exactly. Yeah, it's fun. I'm like deeper into Spyro than I ever got in the first one as a kid, because I realized I don't think I ever. Yeah. I don't know that I ever owned Spyro. It was just like the game you play at Target when mom's shopping.
I know. Yeah, I never had like 2 hours alone with Spyro to actually like accomplish something.
Yeah, I've 100%ed the first two hub worlds, the second of which I had never seen before. And then my real big moment where I remember struggling with this as a kid was one of the flying levels mm-hmm. where you're supposed to fly through and get like 8 of these 4 different objects where like one of them is like barrels that's on a train you're supposed to smash and the rings you're supposed to fly through and chests you're supposed to open. And you have like a timer and you get more seconds on the clock for every one of them you successfully get. And you get rewarded if you get all of them in each set. So like if you get all 8 barrels or whatever, you get a reward of the little gems or whatever. But the biggest reward or the last reward is you have to get all 4 sets all in one run. And that's tough. That's tougher than I remember it being as a kid for sure. And so far I've cleared out both of them and I was close feel to proud throwing of my controller. Yeah. Very in that controller throwy mode. It's the Dark Souls of flying dragon platform games. But it's been fun playing that and it looks really pretty. I just wish it ran better. Mm-hmm. Sackboy's really fucking good though, but I almost want to hold off until like one of you guys has it, because it'd be so much more fun to play co-op.
You know, I would love to play with you if I ever get a fucking PlayStation 5.
It's on PS4.
Yeah, but I don't.
This can't be your excuse for everything, Drew.
Yeah, Drew, you can't just ignore us because we have PlayStation 5. You're making us feel bad. Like we're segregated from you. Just because
that is very rude. That is not what I meant.
We had to do.
It's very un-elitist of you.
Yeah, be more elitist, Drew.
Sorry.
Sackboy looks good on PS4. I saw the Digital Foundry video. It's just a little low resolution. That's all. Mm. It's the same game.
Same.
We're gonna play Sackboy together, Drew. Touch my Sackboy.
What is it? It's probably like is it a $60 game or is it 40?
Okay. All the cross-gen ones were 60. It's probably on sale by now, honestly. And it's got a free PS5 upgrade, dude.
Yeah.
But that's everything. That's all that I know I talked for a little while, but that, like I said, it was mostly Spyro and Sackboy. I was like, is this really what I want to play all fucking week? And so I dropped on all those other things.
Right.
And wanted to give the Xbox some loving with those Game Pass titles.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You know, don't be afraid to touch your box every once in a while.
Exactly. I just keep looking at it. I'm like, I should turn you on.
Yeah.
Because for a minute, it was only my like video streaming box, except there's like a glitch with Apple TV Plus or whatever on Xbox where it like leaves this green line on the bottom of the screen when I'm watching videos on there. And I'm like, that seems like wrong. And then but the bug's not there on the PlayStation 5 app. So I was like, so I can't even watch the video apps on the Xbox. I'm just doing that on PlayStation now, too.
The only media thing I ever watch on my Xbox is Max, because why aren't you using your TV app for Apple TV?
My TV is a year older than yours, so it does not have Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay.
Like your generation of LGs was the one that they added it to for some reason.
Okay.
I don't see why it wouldn't run on my TV, but it's just not there on the store.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah. All right. Which sucks, which locks me out of Dolby Vision on there, too, because the consoles only support regular HDR for the Apple app. Yeah,
that does suck, yeah.
It's the same with, like, Disney Plus. Also, I mean, the other thing, too, is the apps, they just run a bit better on the consoles. Mm-hmm. Like, not that my TV runs slow, but it's just that much quicker using the consoles, because obviously there's a lot more horsepower behind those than my little smart TV.
Yeah. But
yeah, if I want something in Dolby Vision, though, I have to stick with the regular LG app, unfortunately. But Drew, it says here you've been playing Hellblade.
Yeah.
Sinua's Sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. It was just one of those games that I've always had downloaded in the background, because you've always praised that game and told me to go play it. So I decided to finally pick it up. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking an anxiety driven nightmare.
Yep.
It's
sounds all right.
like in the best way possible. Like it's the graphics are fantastic. The motion or the motion capture is amazing. Like the way the facial expressions of Senua and that fucking, I can't remember his name, but his little, her little ghost friend that like keeps popping in and out. It is really good. And the acting complements it fantastically. Is that even a word?
Acting?
Yeah. I'll allow it. Acting? Yeah. Acting is a word. Yeah.
I think I'm about halfway through it. I think I'm towards the, towards the end of the second door right before you get to Helheim. And it's like I said, it's fantastic. The one thing I will say about it, like I couldn't get my headphones to work on my Xbox. Yeah.
Oh no. Are you not playing it with headphones?
No, but like the the sound effects still work great though, because I had like my TV cranked up because I don't have an upstairs neighbor right now, so I was like, fuck it.
But your headphones, you couldn't just plug them into the controller?
No, it wouldn't work. Yeah.
That's so weird.
But like the whole binaural sound thing is fantastic. And I don't know if you like know what the whole thing with like binaural noises are, is like they're supposed to like resonate with like certain vibrations in your brain to make you feel a certain way. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's why they tell you to listen with headphones.
Yeah, with headphones.
Audio, it only works with headphones. It, like the audio will still sound good on the TV, it's still not the same, because
like the effect is just stronger with the headphones.
Yeah, because like when you're listening to this game on with headphones on, the voices you hear sound like they're coming from inside your head.
Right.
Like it's not like an external thing. And it really is one of those things where it's like, I can tell you that and you can think you know what I'm talking about. But until you hear it, the game literally makes you feel like you're going crazy.
Yeah.
Like I could see it triggering schizophrenia in people that maybe only had like a mild case of it before. Like, it's that like, I've had, like, sometimes I'm just like standing around and I think about Senua and I'm like, oh God. Like,
no, yeah, exactly.
Like even the chills while I'm standing in my kitchen thinking about a game I played 2 years ago.
Right. And even just with all the voices going on in the background, I'm like, yeah, this pretty much just feels like anxiety. Like I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get back into it. I don't think I have much longer to beat it.
Yeah, it's not a super long game.
It makes me wonder what they're going to do for the second one, though. If they're going to make it more gameplay heavy, or like interested to see how they're going to take it.
We don't know. We haven't seen anything since that trailer.
Announcement trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. If I was to speculate, I would say that they had such great success with that game and how well it was received that they could easily expand it into like a bigger thing. Cause like the first one was made with a very small team. It was something like 30 people, maybe less, worked on Senua's Sacrifice. Yeah.
I know one thing people wanted was like a more solid combat system kind of thing where that was.
And that's something as you scale up your team, you know, if you can, that's something you've got to balance when you got a small team. How much of this do we want to make sure it's like, oh, it's the story in the world that's telling the player what they need to know versus, oh yeah, we got to have combat because otherwise our game won't sell because people want combat in games. Like Senua's Sacrifice could easily have been a walking simulator.
I mean, I think it would have been almost combat, as effective. But you need like a gameplay loop that is more involved, or that at least has a purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. But if you're going to go with combat, then yeah, I could see that could easily be expanded quite a bit. And then as far as the story goes, that I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know where they want to go with her tale.
Yeah, the storytelling, I can totally see it seems to be
getting bigger.
Seems to be good. They need to work on some other stuff, but you know,
I don't know if it needs to be like God of War size necessarily, but I could easily see them scaling up to like, say from the maybe 8 hour experience it is now up to like a, you know, 12, 13, 14 hour thing. Because Microsoft seems to be putting a lot of weight behind it. That was a big reveal when they did that. Like when you're revealing the Xbox Series X at the Game Awards and your first trailer is Hellblade 2 and not Halo Infinite, I think that right there says how much weight they want to put behind that franchise. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's awesome.
Hope it doesn't
Ethan,
suck.
You got nothing here. Yeah. So how's Apex been?
A little bit Apex got me.
How's that new character?
It doesn't start for another week.
Oh, the season hasn't started?
No, next week.
Why are you playing Apex then?
I like to win. I like winning. It's fun sometimes.
Winning feels good.
I did something the other day I'm not proud of.
Uh-oh.
I'm rarely proud of this when I do it, but it happens.
Did you jump back into WoW? God damn it.
You know,
it's my fault. I dropped the magazines off.
There have been rumors of,
I should have known,
WoW Classic, TBC, The Burning Crusade, considered one, if not the best expansion. And I'm just kind of, just wanted to check in with what's going on. And it's so
funny. Just make sure my dealer's number's still works, just
the reason that I quit last time was because of like PvP had been introduced and, just higher level people with more time on their hands could kill people with less time on their hands. And now nobody's.
But aren't you one of the people with a lot of time on their hands?
Yeah, but I suck at the game. So, but nobody was playing. I got on in my guild who I played with a little bit, but they were clearing the raids at one point, and now like I looked and looked like people hadn't been on in like 3 months stuff. So. Dead game.
That's what happens, man. Dead game. Yep, no one plays World of Warcraft anymore.
But
we got a lot of Blizzard news to talk about
checking,
in a little bit as well.
Just seeing what's
checking
going,
in. It's okay.
Just dipping my toes.
I'm not playing retail. Like I don't have Shadowlands. Am I gonna?
Nobody has Shadowlands. Apparently,
everybody likes Shadowlands.
Nobody likes Shadowlands. Nobody's playing retail.
Shadowlands is doing okay.
It's dumb.
But that's
anything else, Ethan?
Nope.
Nope. Still a little light on there. No, you didn't start up Death Stranding. Didn't start up. No. Andrew, you see his haircut? I got him to get that haircut.
You didn't get me to get this haircut.
I said I want you to get the haircut from the guy from Expanse.
For the last three or four haircuts, minus my, I cut my mullet. I wish I had kept the mullet because now the back of my head's cold.
No, the mullet's gross.
Yeah, the mullet.
And it, the back wind, of your head won't be cold in like a month. The wind
like hits my neck now, and I'm just like, ooh, brr.
You don't go outside enough to feel wind.
When I walk the dog, I do. Or like the AC clicks on, I'm like, brr.
Well, it's time for us to have our post-mortem for the medium. The medium is out.
Pour one out for the homie.
It didn't quite hit the numbers I wanted to do, but Ethan, I told you on Slack, I was like, the medium, as long as it's more than like 75 or so, I'll be okay. And I lucked out.
So 75 hoping,
on the dot.
You're hoping that your games don't lose points. That's what you're hoping for?
No, just that game.
Oh, okay.
The medium was always a tough
risky
call.
A risky one.
It was a risky bet, because if you look at Bloober Team's other games, really, the only one that's reviewed really well was Observer.
Mm-hmm.
And because they did that Blair Witch game, that was just okay. There's another one they did. Layers of Fear 2. That was just okay. Both of those, that's the thing, those were in the 70s side, whereas Observer was like the 80s side. So I was like, oh, fuck, which side of the fence am I going to fall on? Turns out the middle. So I didn't lose any points. I only got 5. But the game came out, and it didn't hurt me, so it's fine.
I think we should talk about.
And I didn't even pay anything for it.
I think we should talk about my sleeper with Cyber Shadow. Was that? Is that?
I don't think that was a sleeper. That had some pretty good.
I was a
previews for it.
I feel like I bought it as a sleeper. I planned it as a sleeper sell.
The same people published that are the developers of Shovel Knight. So mm-hmm. there was some good pedigree mm-hmm. there. They wouldn't have published that if they didn't have some faith in it. Cyber Shadow was a strong pick. I wouldn't say it's a sleeper, but it passed me by.
I thought this was going to be a good pick, and I looked into it a little bit, and I was like, this is going to be a nice little sneak. And I think I grabbed it for like $5.
I'm telling you what my sleepers are. It's going to be this Humankind game. No one's going to see it coming. Whatever, man. Humankind, once I looked into that, looks dope as shit. And it's in a genre that like no one really messes with too much. So there's like, people are hungry for it.
You got no chance.
Humankind's going to be good for me. That's April 22nd, so we'll check in with that then. But back to the medium. The game came out, Open Critic, strong rating, of 75. See, it's strong, Ethan.
Could have been 61%
of critics recommend. Could have been strong. It could be better. 61% of critics recommended it based on 97 critic reviews. If you are unaware of what the medium is, it is the very first Xbox Series X exclusive. This is not. This will not run on an Xbox One or an Xbox One X. You got to have an X or a Series S to play this one. It's also on PC, launched on Game Pass from Bloober Team. Discover a dark mystery only a medium can solve.
We'll just go watch the show.
Not at all related to the hit TV show, yeah. Medium. Explore the real world and the spirit world at the same time. Use your psychic abilities to solve puzzles spanning both worlds. Uncover deeply disturbing secrets and survive encounters with the Maw, a monster born from an unspeakable tragedy.
Wait, are you a detective?
Unspeakable.
I think you're like a type of detective. Like a, well, you're a medium.
Well, sure, but that a medium is just
a medium detective.
A medium is just like you're the catalyst for talking to like the dead and the living world. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's not like. Is she a PI or a detective? Because that would be hilarious.
I don't think so.
I assume it's a woman because it's also in the show.
Yes, this is you do play a woman. Awesome. The medium is a third person psychological horror game that features patented dual reality gameplay in an original soundtrack co-composed by Arkadiusz Rakowski and Akira Yamaoka.
Nailed it.
Nice. I know I got the second one right. I don't know about the first one. So this is the game that was, it's very heavily inspired by Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. So that's where most of my interest in it came from. And what's so interesting about this game is that even though it's averaging at a 75, the reviews are all over the place. We got PC Gamers, Leanna Hafer gave it a 92 out of 100. Jesus. A third-person horror game that's elevated by some of the sharpest writing and acting in the genre.
That's one of those moments where, like, she played in the perfect environment, and it, like, it hit her right on the nail, or the hit the head right on the nail.
Mm-hmm. Hit the nail on the head.
Thank you.
You see, you got your hammers, right? And then you got your heads, so you nail them with the head. Screwdrivers,
and that's the pointy end. And then if you flip it around and you use the handle, that's a hammer.
Exactly, but you want to make sure the battery's charged.
But
and it's solar powered, so that's the no. Maybe
she really the thing enjoyed is though
on PC, because I know it's important to distinguish between like, oh, perfect situation to play it, and maybe like was in the right mindset to play it.
Well, that's what I kind of mean. The like, type of game the lights want. Are down, you know, the you don't have any, nobody's running around the house making all this extra noise or anything like that. You're you're very immersed, you know, you have the perfect setting,
yeah. I mean, yeah, you get people that like horror games.
That too. I do not.
There's that, and then you have people that don't like horror games playing a horror game. It's like, oh, okay, it's obviously going to hit them differently.
But I like to be scared too. So there's like this weird mix.
You should watch other people play horror games.
I do.
There you go. There you go. On PC, this game is a big-time performance hog from what I've read. Targets 30 FPS for basically all of the presets and all of the recommended specs. People were talking about like RTX 3080 with ray tracing off. You're going to be getting like 1440p 30 FPS on this game because of that dual rendering thing. Mm-hmm. Where the what they mean when they say the dual rendering, you've seen it in that trailers.
Sounds like a bad thing.
Well, it's again, it's just a heavy on the performance. Obviously, you want your game to run better, but the parts that are not dual rendered, where you just it's just a single scene, those run really well. It's the dual rendered scenes that end up like really hogging performance because it's rendering two game instances at the same time. Kind of like you're playing like a game in split screen. So like you play Mario Kart by yourself, 60 FPS. You play split screen two player, it cuts it down to 30 FPS because you need the performance to make sure both of them run smooth. I know on Xbox, it's one too where like the dynamic res runs from like 1080p to full 4K depending on the scene, but it's always locked at 30. IGN's Tristan Ogilvy gave it an 8 out of 10. Said brilliantly paced and palpably tense. The medium is a psychological horror adventure that's all thriller and no filler. The game's Radar gave it a 2.5 stars out of 5. So the medium tries to do a lot, but never really seems to stop and see if any of it's working. So again, that's typical horror stuff. It's almost like you got people that like really love B horror movies. And then someone like me who goes and watches it, I'm just like talking shit about it the whole time.
But that's a common thing, is like where a lot of games try to do a lot of things and they don't necessarily do all of them well, but some of them do come out as like on top and lend some not as so much.
Yeah, he got Jordan Ramey at GameSpot 9 out of 10, Metro Game Central 4 out of 10. Like, these are huge skews between like which side of the curtain you're on, I guess. So benefit, though, is that it's on Game Pass. Even on PC, you can grab it on Game Pass on there as well if you're interested in trying that out. I'm still really excited to play this. I might start this up tonight. Turn the lights down, get the headphones on.
I've been having it downloaded for a couple of days now. And I'm like you, Travis. Like, even with like the reviews, I'm still interested to, like, you know, kind of like what Ethan did, you know, with World of Warcraft, just dip my toes in, see how I feel, you know.
Well, and it's equally interesting just because it's, you know, this is one of the first, I guess, true next gen games.
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning, they were like, this won't work on last gen consoles. Like, we're not joking. And then when you see how it runs on PC, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. If an RTX 3080 is having trouble keeping this at 30 FPS, no shit, the last gen consoles, we're not going to be able to pull this off. So, yeah, I'm sad it went all the way down to 75, but I'm steeled by the fact that some of those are like 9 out of 10s. That's a big deal.
Hey, but you know what also is a 75? Days Gone.
Days Gone was like a 69.
Oh, was it really?
Remember? Yeah, because that was the one where I had to go deep to even find that for my list. Mm-hmm. Maybe Days Gone's higher now. I can't remember. You might be right. But if I recall, I thought it was like it might have been a little lower. Is Ethan verifying? Is that what he's doing? What? I don't know. You're looking down. I couldn't tell. See, I could see all the distractions now. 71 on Metacritic. I don't like it. There. Okay. Yeah. So, that's rude. That's just rude, people. how about we get into some news?
I'd love to talk about the news. I want to do it with you. Let's do it. Cool. Cool. News. Fun time. I lost it at the end there.
No, that was good. That was like, I thought you finished strong, to be perfectly honest. I wrote in here, let's just talk about GameStop for a bit. So,
good one. Yeah, you're going to have to like explain this to me, because this is like all so over my head. Yeah.
Well, okay, so have you guys been following the story?
I've been following it very closely, yes. I think
I've been following it pretty closely. I'm obviously, we don't talk finance on this channel outside of like NPD numbers and stuff like that. So we're not going to get too deep into it. But I did, just for people that have maybe been living under a rock, wanted to give a quick recap of what the fuck happened this week, because it's hilarious. So what's going on right now with the GameStop stock is, earlier this week, I think it was January 22nd is what I've got for this CNBC article. GameStop soars nearly 70%, trading briefly halted amid epic short squeeze. So as an expert on the stock market, I have to warn you, this is financial advice, blah, blah, blah. Don't come after me. What's been happening is that a bunch of people on Reddit, on a sub called Wall Street Bets, noticed that a bunch of big hedge fund managers have been trying to short the stock on GameStop because they expect the company to fail, which a lot of us have been.
We've been shit talking
since
GameStop
this podcast started.
A long time.
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah. About GameStop closing stores, about their financials not looking good.
Some of their business practices were a little questionable there at times.
Sure, very much so. We've also covered that King Reggie from Nintendo, Reggie Fils-Aimé. He's on the board already. I think that started. Yeah, he's on the board more recently. And what triggered a lot of this surge that we saw on Monday... I'm sorry, not Monday. It's been 6 days. So on Sunday, last Friday, that's how time works. Last Friday was the announcement that the co-founder of Chewy, which is a online shop store that I use all the time every month for like pet food and pet products and stuff, deliveries. Co-founder of that site and former CEO, Ryan Cohen, also joined the board alongside Reggie Fils-Aimé. Two big names. two people that people are looking at and expecting, okay, maybe the maybe this GameStop train's not gone yet. Maybe they can turn it around. They've been doing a lot of stuff, reformatting some of their stores, focusing on like esports and a lot of like retro gaming, kind of bringing that stuff back. So there's plates spinning at GameStop to try to right the ship. Well, the shorts that people have been doing basically saying, okay, the stock's in a tank. I won't explain how shorts work, but a bunch of people were shorting the stocks to the point where more shares than GameStop has were shorts. And stocks talk, blah, 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 blah. Wall Street Bets people noticed it and started buying a shit ton of GameStop stock to surge the price, because if this price goes up, then the people that shorted it at the lower price owe money. So now these billion-dollar hedge firms are in the hole, like upwards of $5 billion in rising, because the stock of GameStop now, it was $40 on Friday last week. It closed today at $193.
And that's because they've been doing like a bunch of weird, like they've stopped trading and or they've stopped buying of a lot of the stocks. So that price is not necessarily what it would really be if we had an actual free market.
It peaked earlier in the day at 492
to the moon.
That's what it was at the peak before. Yeah. Certain brokerage apps like Robinhood and
which I didn't realize that that's how they were doing it. I thought it was like these people were using like Fidelity, like portfolios and shit. Like,
so they're switching over to Fidelity because now they're all pissed at Robinhood. Yeah,
because Robinhood's doing some shit. I didn't realize they were using a fucking like free trading app. I was just God damn. That's how
I
did
it. Cause I was like, oh shit. Cause when I saw it hit like 120, I was like, fuck it. I got 100 some spare bucks, change, whatever. Let's see. Let's ride. Join the movement. Let's join the meme. So when I saw it hit 492 earlier, I only bought like a grand worth of the shares, but I was like, holy shit. Like what did it just, that's like already five times the money I put into it as a joke. I've still made more money than I haven't lost anything just even now, even with it closing at 193 today. But yeah, so the big move was that over the week, the stock price has just been surging. And to the point where it started with like CNBC people being like, oh, it's just a bunch of trolls online, you know, ignore it. It's going to crumble back to $5 in the next week. And it's ballooning and ballooning and ballooning and ballooning to the point where, yeah, like I said, it was 492 earlier today. The highest it closed at was like, 265 the other day or something like that. But it's just hilarious that Reddit has like single-handedly like basically brought GameStop back from the dead for the time being, and they're like holding on to these stocks. The move today was that I think Robinhood and a few other apps, they stopped letting people buy the shares but would let them sell it,
which is what the hedge fund and / Wall Street people want. They want
them to be scared into selling them so that then all these the hedge managers could buy their stocks back and not be as fucked as they were after the price drops again. But so now there's like Congress people coming out and be like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was like, I want to put a fucking committee together to come after like Robinhood and shit, because Robinhood's trying to say, oh, well, Reddit's manipulating the stock market. So let's manipulate it back by saying you can sell but not buy. And so it's just so funny how like GameStop of all companies has been wrapped up into this weird financial revolution that's going on right now. And it's just a crazy story. Ethan, I know you said you've been following this. Andrew, you said you were talking to your mom about this earlier today.
Oh yeah, but she was just she basically said exactly what you said. She thought the whole situation was just kind of funny. And I was like, and she kind of explained it to me and like, yeah, it is kind of funny what's going on right now.
It's hilarious. And it was funny. It's bridging all sorts of political divides right now too, because Ted Cruz is out there like retweeting AOC's tweets about this, which is so weird because like, I don't know if you followed any of this, but like Seth Rogen has been roasting
Ted Cruz
on Twitter for the last week. But this GameStop shit's just fucking hilarious. And you know, in the long run, I hope it actually benefits them as a company. I hope that like this surge actually ends up being something where it's like, okay, we can use some of this money now to actually, you know, pull off some of the bigger changes that we've been wanting to do. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. But
I had to talk about it.
It's been so wild following all this and seeing all the memes all week long. And I know y'all are getting annoyed with me in Slack where it's like every other story, it's about GameStop. Whereas we went from Bernie memes to GameStop overnight, basically. But next, this is a interesting story. We were talking about this a little bit last week, Drew, on Slack, mm-hmm. I believe. Blizzard absorbs Activision Studio after dismantling Classic Games team. This is from Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to get the gist of it. You should go look up the article if you want the whole story. Video game publisher Activision Blizzard Inc. took another step in consolidating control over Division Blizzard Entertainment, which once took pride in its autonomy, by shifting a 200-person design studio to its ranks. The studio, Vicarious Visions, has been a subsidiary of Activision since 2005 and worked on franchises like Skylanders, Crash Bandicoot, and Tony Hawk. More specifically, Crash Bandicoot, Insane Trilogy, and Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2, both of which
are amazing,
were reviewed and sold incredibly well, are excellent packages. The studio will now focus entirely on Blizzard's franchises, including Diablo, instead of making its own games. Former Vicarious Vision studio head Jennifer O'Neill will take a seat on Blizzard's leadership team, reporting directly to the president. The news reported by GamesIndustry.biz arrived just a few weeks after Blizzard quietly dismantled one of its internal development teams, according to people familiar with the company. So that kind of sucks. I think we were all sort of hoping that Vicarious Visions was going to keep doing their own thing. Obviously, they're under Activision either way. Them getting folded into Blizzard doesn't mean that like anyone got fired or anything like that. But a lot of people were kind of hoping for like a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 plus 4, like maybe continuing on with those remasters or adding in like DLC to 1 plus 2. And then also, I mean, just it was already kind of weird that they didn't get Crash 4 after doing the Insane Trilogy. Mm-hmm. The Toys for Bob got that instead, which that game came out fine. It was just weird how that all worked out. And so now Vicarious Vision, just like plenty of other studios under Activision, they're just ostensibly gone.
Yeah,
they're just a bunch of people within Activision now.
Blizzard now. Yeah. Like, have fun making the next Overwatch character, you know?
Yeah. Blizzard, the maker of games like World of Warcraft and Overwatch, has traditionally developed most of its games in-house, but in recent years, the Activision publishing arm has taken a stronger hand in Blizzard's operations. Vicarious Visions, based in Albany, New York, has been working with Blizzard since last year on the Diablo franchise, including a planned remake of Diablo 2, people familiar with the plan said. They asked not to be identified, discussing private information. So they're making the long rumored Diablo 2 remake.
Is that what the people want?
I mean, I mentioned this to Jared and Jordan when I was hanging out with them the other day, and they both had their jaws drop. So they're excited. Well, I'm sorry, not Jordan, Jared and Josh. They're both very excited. They love Diablo. I'm a big fan of Diablo. Jared
doesn't play video games. I don't know about Jordan.
Jared plays Diablo 3 with Josh.
Is that the new one? I don't know. Is that really?
Diablo 3 has been out for a long time.
Yeah. But it came out like in 2015, I want to say. Diablo 2, like for PC gamers specifically, that's like a big
good one.
That's a high watermark. Yeah. That's what we think when we think of Blizzard, Ethan. You think of World of Warcraft. We think of Diablo 2.
Well, that's just
those are the two type of Blizzard people.
People are wrong.
Until last year, the Diablo 2 remake was set to be developed by Blizzard's Team One, part of the company's Irvine, California campus that had become known for reworking classic games. Its most recent release in January of 2020 was a remake called Warcraft 3 Reforged. The title was poorly received due to glitches and missing features, earning 59 out of 100 points on the review aggregator Metacritic, the lowest score a Blizzard game has ever gotten. Members of Team One met to discuss what had gone wrong. Internal Blizzard developments reviewed by Bloomberg pinpointed the game's failures on poor planning, miscommunication, and a rushed release due to financial pressure from management, among other factors. For example, Blizzard announced the game in November of 2018 and began taking pre-orders for 2019 without informing most of the development team beforehand, according to several people who worked on Warcraft 3 Reforged. Team One wanted to avoid repeating the mistakes of Warcraft 3 Reforged on its new project, the remake of Diablo 2. Shortly after the post-mortem, however, Blizzard pulled that project from the team and put the division behind Diablo 4 in charge. A group of Vicarious Visions is also working on the remake, which was known as Diablo 2 Resurrected. So a lot going on there. Basically, Team One fucked up Reforged, not necessarily of their own fault, but because of what Blizzard was trying to get them to do in the time they gave them. So Blizzard took away Diablo 2 from them and has now put what's left of Vicarious Visions onto Diablo 2 Remake, which has not been officially announced. So this is basically a leak from Bloomberg. But yeah, that's the gist of that. So apparently, I was going to ask how everyone felt about that. Apparently, neither of y'all care about Diablo all that much.
I never played Diablo.
No, I just think it sucks that Vicarious Visions got absorbed this way. And I think it kind of says, like, in what kind of state, even though this game hasn't really been officially announced, this is technically a leak, but, you know, what kind of state this remake is in, that they need to absorb this whole, you know, company to focus on this one specific game. But I'm interested to see what happens. You know, it sucks, but, you know, on to greener things.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that at least nobody got fired. That's not the story. We're not saying that, like, a studio was shut down.
And no, a bunch of people, I know, lost, but I'm just saying that they're not, like, doing, you know, other things.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm just clarifying.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was more angry when this first story first came out than I was after I found out, well, that's just because they're doing Diablo 2 instead. So now I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's okay. But on the same token, like, it sucks the more, like, it feels like every few months we get another story that's like, Blizzard is not Blizzard anymore.
Yeah.
They're just another piece of the Activision puzzle. And Activision sucks. And Blizzard has not been doing too good since the Activision merger, which you can see with what's going on with Overwatch and Overwatch 2, and yeah, how awful Warcraft Reforged was. I guess WoW Classic is okay.
Classic is dead, technically. They're trying to...
Yeah, but there's no, like, big controversy of that other than the typical MMO stuff, which is just you never have enough content.
That's true.
Especially when it's literally content people already know.
They've already done.
And the people that want to play it are the people that have already played it. So there's not even the discovery phase. You just already know how to, like, eat through all of that.
Yeah, there was like a weird campaign where in the game, like, these emissaries would come and they were the players as a whole, as a community of, like, each faction would bring them mats and stuff, ingredients for them. And they were like thousands of amounts of them. Like, there were a lot. It was supposed to take time. And, like, originally it took, like, weeks because, you know, people were, you know, it was new. This time they did it in, like, less than a day because people had, because they didn't change what they needed. The amount stayed the same. So people already knew what it was. So they just got it beforehand and already had it.
Yeah. Oh, so they were already,
they already had it when it, like, started. So they were just like, boop, boop, boop. So, yeah, it's definitely not a discovery thing. It's not new or fresh. It's just, it's something that people have such a nostalgia lens for that they're essentially blind.
Yeah, that's what's so funny about MMOs is, yeah, like, the people that attract MMO or that are attracted by MMOs are the same people that are, like, designed to destroy the content as fast as possible. Like, so it's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can never, like, I don't understand any studio that would ever make an MMO because it's just like, you'll never do it right. You know, they'll hate you for it. They'll love it for a week and then they'll hate you for it. There's no winning. It's just ridiculous. Next up, Drew, this is the rest of the story we tried to get through last week, but your cinnamon bread was more important.
I'm sorry.
I'm not blaming you for it. I would probably eat cinnamon bread rather than have covered this story because they already reversed it. Microsoft officially announced and then quickly unannounced Xbox Live Gold getting a price increase from $40 to $60 for 6 month subscriptions and the removal of 12 month subscriptions. So the story we had last week was that some Reddit user had found, like, the new cards had come into their retail store. people started talking about the price increase. Sure enough, on Xbox Wire, the post went up the next day. Hey, we're bumping up the price of the 6-month subscription. We're getting rid of 12.
People flipped out.
If you're already subscribed, you're grandfathered in. But that didn't stop everyone on Twitter and Reddit
from flipping the
fuck out and being like, how dare you, sir? Immense backlash online resulted in the quick reversal of their plans. As many outlets and consumers pointed out that the 100% increase in price during an ongoing pandemic and financial crisis was a bit of a bad look.
As
part of this reversal, just a little bit, just a touch. As part of this reversal, Microsoft also announced that they would no longer lock free-to-play multiplayer games behind Xbox Live Gold, allowing them truly to be free-to-play the same way they have been on PlayStation platforms. I
didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, so if you want to play Fortnite, like you had to have Xbox Live Gold.
So Fortnite on PlayStation wasn't like a plus game like it usually is?
No, you could just play it for free.
Because most like online multiplayer. All you needed
was an internet connection.
Don't you need PlayStation Plus to play them?
Yeah, but if it's a free-to-play game like Apex or Fortnite or whatever, you don't need PS Plus. That's only for like Call of Duty or like any game that you had to purchase.
Damn, Microsoft was getting away with that shit for like...
Yes, and I mean, what since the beginning of Xbox Live Gold.
Is Warzone?
Warzone's free because it's a free to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the second you jump over to Call of Duty, it's going to say, hey, you need PS Plus to do this or Xbox Live Gold. Yeah, so it's not immediately in effect. From what I understood online, this was a move that Xbox was already working on for a while, but they went ahead and announced it as a way to like regain some faith from people after the horrible decision making this was in the first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How ridiculous. Just like what an absurd move that it just reeks of greed, which normally I would be the first person to be like, oh, come on, company's got to make money. But it's fucking Microsoft. Like they don't need it. And the whole they're trying to push the pro consumer thing and drive people to their platform. Capital. By doubling the cost of Xbox Live Gold. And I know what it was some dude in a suit was looking at the numbers and thinking, okay, we need to drive Game Pass subscriptions. So we need to make Xbox Live Gold like look like even less of a good value to make Game Pass look like a better value. Like, why pay for $60 for 6 months of Xbox Live when you can pay $15 a month? And you get live, you get Game Pass on PC and Xbox. Well, I'm sure that's what somebody looked at. And hopefully Phil Spencer was in a room saying, this is a bad idea, guys.
Somebody, I hope.
But got over, like got vetoed.
Probably not. That's
and then was like, told you so one of those, afterwards.
One of the things where like a lesser employee was like thinking to himself, that's a really shitty idea. I can't say that out loud because I'll get
reamed. I mean. That's what's so funny because, Phil Spencer is the head of Xbox. So, like, I don't see a way that he was not in that conversation. Yeah, or he
didn't approve it.
And said, this is okay. Yeah. How does he approve something like that? And I hope that's something that comes up on someone's podcast sometime soon where they, like, interview this fucking guy and be like, what happened here? Because, like, how did y'all think this was a good idea?
Just, like, put it all together so it's, like, less confusing.
That's what they did with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. It's a terrible name.
But there's still Xbox Live Gold in it?
Yeah, okay. Game Pass Ultimate has it all. Because Game Pass itself is $10. Ultimate is $15, and that's Game Pass
plus Xbox. Why are they so bad at naming?
They're bad at names, dude. I don't know. It's
not hard.
Get Game Pass Ultimate Xbox on your Xbox Series XS One.
It's like
Gold.
It's like they have a board with a bunch of words on and they just throw a dart at it. And they're just like, all right, so we have series. Okay, what's the next one? Like we have the South Park one. X. Oh, wait, no.
Where the guys, where they cut off the head of the chicken, let the chicken run around. Bailout. Okay.
Yeah, so if anyone only heard half of my story last week as I got frustrated and ended the show.
It was a great episode.
It was a good episode. It was. Then you got the whole story. There's nothing to worry about now. Canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Canceled before it even began. Next, after 25,000 complaints, European Union calls for investigation into Nintendo Switch Joy-Con drift. This is from Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer. The European Consumer Organization, or the BEUC, the European Union's Joint Consumer Program, has called for a Europe-wide investigation into the Nintendo Switch Joy-Con drift after receiving more than 25,000 complaints from numerous countries. The group has now submitted its own complaints to the European Commission and national consumer protection authorities around Europe based on its rules surrounding, quote, premature obsolescence and misleading omissions of key consumer information on the basis of the European Union's Unfair Commercial Practices Directive. In the vast majority of cases, 88% of which, Nintendo Switch owners reported issues with their Joy-Con controllers within the first 2 years of use. Complaints have been received from Switch owners in France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Portugal, Italy, Norway, Slovakia, Slovenia, and Greece. The BEUC has called for Nintendo to repair faulty Joy-Cons for free, something it has done in the past, and to inform consumers of the limited lifespan of Joy-Cons at present. Well, so I think we talked about this like early last year was the last time I think a class action lawsuit in the U.S. had been filed against Nintendo, and that's still underway. I'm kind of surprised it took this long for something like this to happen in Europe, because usually they're the first ones to
jump on
to
it,
to crack down on companies when it comes to consumer protections. Drew, you play your Switch more than anyone else, and that's to say not much. I can't remember. Have you had too many issues with, have you had any Joy-Con drift issues? Have you seen anything like that?
No. Well, I came really aggressive about that. I said, no,
absolutely no. Not.
These people are liars.
No, not like I'm not one of those people that had it within the first 2 years. It's only recently that one of my Joy-Cons has a very slight drift. It's not very much of an issue.
Oh, so it is happening to you.
Yeah, but like it's.
Sorry, you said no, and I was like,
no,
I guess you haven't had like, any issue with it personally. Like, it's not affecting your gameplay.
No, it's not. It's just like whenever I was in rehab, whenever I was playing Animal Crossing, you know, sometimes, you know, whenever I would pick up an apple, I would like dig a hole instead, you know, like it would just like move to the left, you know, very, very little. But like I've had my Switch for fucking, I don't know.
Since release in 2017, right? Like you were,
no, I
you
bought
it pretty quick.
Yeah, I bought it. Oh, yeah, so
it was a little like, after me, right? Because I got mine in August of 2017.
Uh huh. Yeah, it was and a little I know I had after mine you.
First.
Yeah, so around 3 years, and I just I've never had any issues with the drift or anything with it until recently. I'm happy this is happening, but I would say with my personal experience, like, you know, the drift hasn't really been an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it does come down to like how long, how much play time you get on the thing and stuff. And because there's been some people who've been like, yeah, I've had to get my fucking Joy-Con repaired like 3 or 4 times.
Exactly. And I can understand why they would be pissed. Yeah.
This is on top of all the launch issues that they had where controllers weren't connecting correctly and like losing signal and shit. And they had to send them off to get repaired for that as well.
Or they were getting stuck in the side slots.
Yeah. There was an update on this article earlier today as well that basically just said the European Commission has released a statement outlining its potential next steps regarding Nintendo Switch Joy-Con drift, prompted by calls for action from its own BEUC. So it's progressed already to this commission that's going to basically decide, OK, well, how much money is Nintendo paying out to us? Like, or whatever. What's the fine look like? What's the program look like for this going forward? Because to be clear, Nintendo had like very quickly was like, all right, if it happens to you, send it in, we'll repair it for free. But I don't know what that means as far as like, are they paying for the shipment? Like, are you still paying for packaging materials? Like, there's also the turnaround time. Like, it's still your X amount of days out from being able to get the Switch playable again. Not to mention how many people are just like, oh, it's broken, let me throw in the trash, buy another set of Joy-Cons that are $80. Ethan, you make that face, but there's those people. They're just like, oh, it's an electronic device. They break. You yell at Sally for a little bit. She must have been messing with it too hard, and we got to get another Switch controller now. What's up, Drew?
Oh, no,
is that you? You raising your hand because you're too rough with your controllers? You're just going to chuck them in the trash? Now, fuck that. I've had one controller fuck up on me, and I sent that shit to Sony. I was like, fix this. I had to pay for it because it was out of warranty, but I was like, fix this thing. I'll pay the $30. It's fine. But yeah, man, these Joy-Cons aren't cheap, and this has been literally an issue for years now. Years. And let's see, there was a comment from Nintendo here. Oh, yeah. Asked about the ongoing issue in June 2020. So that's how long ago it was since Nintendo even gave a statement about it. Nintendo president Shintaro Furukawa apologized for any trouble caused and said Nintendo was, quote, continuing to aim to improve our products, but as the Joy-Con is subject to a class action lawsuit in the United States, and this is still a pending issue, we would like to refrain from responding about any specific actions. So it's moving right along. Cool. But yeah. How hard is it to make a fucking controller, man?
I don't know.
Xbox and Sony doing it all the time.
Right.
Pumping out tons of controllers. I don't get it. Next. Drew, I'm sorry to say, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox supplier AMD expects supply issues until the second half of the year.
Oh, God damn it.
AMD, which makes the CPUs and GPUs inside PlayStation 5 and Xbox X and Series S, I'm sorry, Series X and S, God damn it, I hate it, expects supply constraints to continue through the first half of 2021. Asked to characterize the magnitude of supply constraints facing the general semiconductor industry during AMD's fourth quarter earnings call on Tuesday, CEO Lisa Su said she expects some tightness during the first 6 months of the year before things pick up in the second half. Quote, so certainly when I look at the semiconductor environment in 2020, it was very strong. So we saw don't skip all that part. She's hyping herself up. Where was the good quote? Where was it? That being said, all the things I didn't say, she added, I think we're getting great support from our manufacturing partners. The industry does need to increase the overall capacity level. And so we do see some tightness through the first half of the year, but there is added capacity in the second half. So they're scaling up, getting that added capacity. But I think we all kind of predicted that, yeah, it was going to be second half of the year before we see anything. Mm-hmm. In November, Microsoft said it expects Xbox Series X and S supply shortages to continue through at least until April 2021, an outlook that was reiterated by Chief Financial Officer Amy Hood during the company's own earnings call on Tuesday, when it said the systems have recorded their biggest console launch in the firm's history. Then we got some stuff. Phil Spencer was on a podcast basically saying, we're making them as much as we can. We're not hiding them in a warehouse somewhere.
Like, we aren't stockpiling them. I swear we're trying to get them out there.
Yeah, he says, I get some people asking, why didn't you build more? Why didn't you start earlier? Why didn't you ship them earlier? It really is just down to the physics and the engineering. We're not holding them back. We're building them as fast as we can. We have all the assembly lines going. I was on the phone last week with Lisa Su at AMD asking, how do we get more? So it's something that we're constantly working on. But it's not just us. Gaming is really coming to its own in 2020. Obviously, PlayStation 5 is in very tight supply. I love it because Phil Spencer is the only one to name drop the competitor's product. No one at Sony has ever said the word Xbox. Ever. And Spencer just like, hey, man, we know PS5's real hot, too. Like, they ain't getting any more consoles out than we are, which is not true. They're getting like three times out as much. That's the part he didn't tell you. But, yeah, Drew, I'm trying, man. We were close. I felt real confident
about that day, you know, on like the Walmart and the GameStop app. But like, as soon as it like it released, it was just like, reload, store crash, store crash, store crash, reload, reload, store crash, store crash. And I'm like, God damn it.
Well, that and the PlayStation Direct thing when I was like, oh, fuck, we're actually going to get in the queue. And then it's like, you're more than an hour away. And I was like, God damn it. Because they randomize everyone when they start that queue. Mm-hmm. But because that's the one to keep looking for is the PlayStation Direct notices when that countdown comes up or whatever. And, yeah. And just trying to jump in line and get in fast enough. But, you know, worst case scenario, you know, June's not that far away. It'll be here before you know it.
I just got to be patient. You know? It's fine. I got other games to play. It's OK. I'll get one eventually.
Dirty Xbox games. I was very sad when I booted up my PlayStation 5 the other day and I look into my friends list and it says Andrew last online 21 days ago. I was like, man, he switched teams real quick when all he could get was an Xbox.
I haven't switched. I'm just, you know, I'm being patient. You know, it's what I got.
You know what? Love is what I got.
And don't you remember that?
So remember that.
Remember that.
Next up.
I fucked that up.
IO Interactive is planning to double its staff and open a second studio for Bond. IO Interactive is being handed the reins to the James Bond IP. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from James Troughton at thegamer.com. Shout out. IO Interactive is being handed the reins to the James Bond IP to make a video game all about the suave womanizer with a questionable history. We've all seen the old Bond movies. Mm-hmm. That stretches back as far as the 50s, but IO is giving its own unique take rather than adapting Craig Moore, Connery, or whoever else. But is IO ready? The short of it is no. The company was open about as much, but intends to expand so that it can be ready for James Bond. For context, it became independent in 2017 while also keeping the Hitman and Freedom Fighter franchises. As of writing this, it employs around 200 employees, and naturally, IO has other IPs beyond Bond to work on, so not all can be dedicated to the British spy. As such, IO Interactive is looking for to expand its staff from 200 to 400 by opening another studio in Sweden. There's a lot hitching on this, given that the Bond brand has been, in essence, banned from video games due to the squeamishness towards excessive violence from the IP holders, with the last one being in 2012. This was an FPS centered around Daniel Craig's take from Activision called 007 Legends. Craig. IO Interactive...
Craig.
IO Interactive director Hakan Abrak revealed it's very special, or it's very, very special, a boy's dream. Sometimes it's still a little hard to understand that it's us making James Bond. According to Danish website DR, IO Interactive isn't just pining after a singular entry. The word trilogy is on everyone's mind, after all, but they are building... or they are aiming to build a James Bond universe. Quote, today we have 200 employees and I expect that we will have over 400 employees over the next few years. So there's no doubt that the Bond agreement means an insane amount to us. So fuck yeah. I was wondering how that was going to happen because I know they're fairly small. They are independent. Hitman 3 did the best out of the entire rest of the franchise. I set all sorts of records for them. And that was my thought, was like, oh, are they putting all of their eggs into this James Bond basket? Because that's scary, because James Bond's cool, but also outside of GoldenEye, it's never been like this huge success of a franchise when it comes to games. Honestly, a lot
There's
of them
no
have
way
sucked.
This doesn't come out as a garbage fire.
No, I don't think it'll be a garbage fire, but it's something that they point out in this article is that, you know, it. At least the pitch must be pretty good for what their plan is, because MGM basically, as it said, like since that 007 Legends, they've been like, we don't need Bond games. Like we don't need this IP to be in video games or anything. So whatever IO said was their plan got them excited. Like, at least
your story for Bond can be like a New York Times bestseller if you put it in a book, but like, that doesn't mean the gameplay is going to be good. And I think that's going to be the problem, is like, how do you make the player feel like you're James Bond the whole time? That is the hard part.
I think IO will be able to handle it. I mean, because isn't that basically kind of what like Hitman is in a little bit?
But
way?
How do you do because that like, without aren't you, just making a Hitman clone?
I mean, but that's like, because Bond has its own personality.
He has hair.
The Hitman guy is just like.
That's the only difference. He has hair.
He no, it's
and
not.
He talks. That's not the and only talks difference. And he has sex with ladies.
And he has like a whole. There's like a whole menagerie of characters. Like there's already like a Bond universe that they can like, you know, delve into to get characters and okay, to, like, so what, have a whole nother story.
They're
like
use Q as a crafting mechanic. Ugh.
Maybe
that sounds God. Cool.
Yeah,
I don't know. No, okay. I'm saying that like that idea. Yes, that sounds cool because that's what Q does. Is he makes gadgets, he upgrades them, blah 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 blah. But I'm saying putting that into gameplay and making it good is very hard. That's why you haven't done it.
Here's my pitch.
The pitch is
Metal Gear Solid plus Tomb Raider reboot.
Like what?
High
okay,
quality action.
What
stealth mechanics?
But is James Bond like? He's not super stealthy, is he?
He can be. Like he has his moments.
He's like tactical, but I don't know if he's like.
It's got to have the sexy set piece stuff like the Tomb Raider games too. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be putting on a suit. He's going to the dinner party. Mm-hmm. We're all chit chatting, and then he's gonna see someone he's following. He's gonna sneak away and the.
be real stealthy while he's going through the rooms and
that
stuff.
That all sounds good on paper and storyboard.
Gonna run into the hot Bond girl and she's gonna be like, what are you doing
here, putting those James? Actions like, oh. into like button prompts and controller and all that extra, the gameplay loop.
I know, making video games
hard. And I don't think, and that's why, well, that's, I mean, why it'll be interesting to see what they do. Don't do Bond. So I think this is gonna be a flaming hot garbage fire.
No.
Yes.
I think we'll see something special out of this, hopefully.
I have faith.
Yeah.
I think they can pull it off. I think IO is smart enough to not get involved with a franchise like that if they didn't have a good idea.
I think they're blinded by the fact that they got Bond and they, I don't know. It's not gonna be good.
They got Bond blinded.
Yeah.
Dude, they're putting their money behind it, doubling their staff. They're gonna have that. That's huge. I mean, either way. Especially for someone independent like that. Did they get a big pay cut like up front? Did MGM say, okay, you're going to make the game, so we're going to inject? Well, I guess MGM can't eject anyone with cash because aren't they going bankrupt or trying to sell themselves or something? That was one of the big ones I read the other day. They were like, someone buy us, please. Buy all of our shit. Wall
Street Bets, please help us.
Wall Street Bets, yeah. Next, Ninja Theory is ending content updates for Bleeding Edge. The Xbox exclusive 4v4 melee combat game that you've forgotten all about or never even heard of, according to a post on the game's official Twitter account. Quote, with the studio now focusing on new projects, Sinuous Saga, Project Mara, and the Insight Project, we've decided that there will be no further content updates for Bleeding Edge. The game is still playable on Xbox and PC. Thank you to all the fans, and keep teaming up and causing chaos. I looked into it on Steam. The game has had an all-time peak of only 828 players with a current 24-hour peak of 8. And there were 2 people online when I looked about an hour ago.
Nice.
There's 8 people.
So not a whole lot of people left playing.
It's just funny.
Exactly. It's just the same group of people that, like, they're just diehard best friend. This dude, it's Thursday night, man.
Bleeding Edge night.
Bleeding Edge with the bros.
Let's do it. Yeah. We're going
to get some beers, playing some Bleeding Edge.
No, man, I'm telling you, this game's really deep. You just got to understand the mechanics of it, you know? This game's really underrated.
That game looked dead from the word go. Like, yeah. That first trailer, I was like, oh my God, Ninja Theory, what are you doing?
It's not great.
And that was, like, right around when Microsoft acquired them, too. So it was like, they're going to turn them into Game Pass shitty studio. Like, no one's going to play Bleeding Edge. It looks like half the characters look ripped off from Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half looked ripped off from Fortnite.
Yeah. It was very much the next Battleborn.
Ethan got that lean back going on.
I scrunched down.
I'm trying to lean back, you know what I'm saying?
We got your PlayStation Plus games for February 2021, Ethan. Drew doesn't play PlayStation anymore, so he can turn off the mic for this one.
Oh, okay, good.
These are awesome choices for the month. I'm very happy with this. We've got, of course, one that was already announced, Destruction All-Stars for PlayStation 5. This is like the Destruction Derby-looking game. You might have seen trailers for this already if you've been watching the State of Plays from Sony. But this is one that was going to come out like launch window for PlayStation. They pushed it to February and said it was going to launch as a PlayStation Plus title, which is good because I don't think this game would have survived a $70 price tag.
No, definitely not.
It would have been dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
At least now it's going to get a big audience and a lot of word of mouth up front. And then hopefully it's good. And then as people start getting PlayStations later on, they'll might be more likely to pick up the game if you know, they're hearing people talk good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it says entertain the crowd by bringing controlled chaos to the vehicular combat arena of this metal crunching multiplayer game. Pick one of 16 superstar competitors, then leap into 4 game modes using timing, tactics, and skills to cause carnage behind the wheel or create havoc with your parkour skills. And that's what I'm so interested about. This is how much of the parkour running around aspect plays into it, because basically if your car's destroyed, your character like ejects from the car and then you're still able to run around and interact with shit on this, in this arena, I guess, while there's like maybe a timer where it's like they're rebuilding a new car for you and you can get back in or whatever. And you've seen stuff in the trailer where like you're able to like jump on someone else's car and fuck it up like while they're driving around and stuff. So I'm really cute. I think that's the part where if that works out well, that could be really cool. And that's going to be like the hook. Mm-hmm. Do it like being able to fuck around still with your opponents while you're outside of the vehicle. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for this. It says the game also supports PS5's game help feature. So that's the one where you can pull up the guide and see videos that might help you get certain trophies and give you hints and tips and stuff like that. So that'll be cool. I'm excited to play that one. The big boy of this month, the big surprise one, Control Ultimate Edition. So this is the PS5 and PS4 version. So if you just have a PS4 and you haven't gotten Control 1, you're crazy, but you lucked out. It's a PS Plus game now. You can get it here. And then if you upgrade to a PS5 in the future, you get the full upgrade for there as well. One thing I did read earlier, though, was that there is no save transfer feature for this one. So if you start on PS4 and you get a PS5 and you move over, you can't take your save with you. You're going to have to start over. And that was the same, too. If you had Control and then bought the Ultimate Edition for the expansions, I think it was the same. The saves didn't carry. But yeah, we talked about enough about Control on this podcast. If for some reason you don't remember anything about it, go look up a trailer. This game's fucking awesome. It's one of my favorites of 2019. Mm-hmm. And they announced the specs for the next gen version. It's going to be 1440p with a 60 FPS performance mode and a 30 FPS ray tracing mode. Same resolution for both. 30. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's ray traced. It's basically the same specs you got with Spider-Man, except they did eventually add the 60 FPS ray tracing mode for that one. Mm-hmm. But even that on its own was like such a shocker. I don't think anyone expected it. Then Insomniac pulled some wild shit to get that working well enough to do that. But this is awesome. Ethan, I know you're kind of looking forward to this, too. Do you think you're going to jump in on this day one?
Probably not day one, but
This
is the first time I'm going to get like all three of the PlayStation Plus games in a while.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one where luckily Destruction's coming out, because I just bought Control Ultimate Edition for the PS5 upgrade in November when it was on sale for like $20.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Like I said from the very beginning, I was mad that it was a $40 price, but if it went on sale for $20, that's like a reasonable fee to pay for next gen.
This has both of the DLCs, right?
Yeah, it's got everything. Yep. And of course, all the latest updates, it's going to run better even on regular PS4 than it did before. And then this is another one, too. I saw on Twitter that they were talking about on the PS5 side, they spent a lot of time adding support for the DualSense. Hmm. This is one of the first third-party titles. They're actually using all of the game help and PlayStation activity cards and stuff to be able to fast travel and jump between things.
Oh, that's neat.
Most of the third-party stuff, they've kind of just ignored that. Like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, there are no activity cards. It's basically useless. So outside of like just, hey, you got a trophy. That stuff. So really looking forward to that. It sounds like they put a lot of time into this next gen version, which also makes me feel better about paying for it. But that's coming. And then your third game on PS4 is Concrete Genie. I talked a little bit about this on the podcast when I picked this one up. Mm-hmm. This is from Pixel Opus. This is a first party title. I don't think many people played this. I don't even know if it ever charted. Sony didn't really do too much marketing on it, but it's cool that it's a PS Plus title now. Pick up a magic paintbrush and return the polluted town of Denska to its former bright and bustling seaside self in this touching and multi-award winning action adventure. Cleanse streets and alleyways, then use your living paint to create mischievous genies whose magical powers will aid you in overcoming puzzles and seeing off bullies who pursue you. The game also included two additional modes built especially for PlayStation VR to let you further unleash your creativity.
Cool. Yeah, I remember you gave this game
4 or 5 hours long.
Yeah, I remember you gave this game pretty high praise, so I'm definitely willing to check this out.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like an 8 out of 10, maybe a little lower, something like that. Like, it was nothing like groundbreaking, but it was really cute. Mm-hmm. The art style is gorgeous, and it ran really well. That's always a nice thing. It's like sometimes it just like, does it tick all the boxes where it's like, at least it runs well and it does what it set out to do. It maybe isn't doing anything flashy, but it's not buggy.
Right.
You know, I feel like as we get older and more jaded, like does it turn on? Did it crash at all while I played it? No. Awesome. 10 out of 10. Thanks, guys. Like, you did it. Next up, Xbox Live Games with Gold for February 2021. We haven't done this in a long time because they're usually garbage.
Yep.
And there's actually a couple of decent ones this month. I don't know why they're doing this. Maybe it was because it was a, they were, this was the preparing, they were preparing for the fact they were doubling the cost of gold. So they're like, well, we got to give them a good game if we're going to do that.
We got to throw them a bone since we're going to take all their bones.
Yep. Your lineup includes Gears 5, available all month on February, as well as Resident Evil, the HD remaster. Both of those are Xbox One titles. And then you've also got Dandara Trials of Fear Edition. We're getting into those shitty games here. Available February 16th to March 15th. Then you got Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb for the original Xbox.
I didn't even know this was a game.
I've never heard of this. Available February 1st to 15th.
Why? That's so random. Like,
they do this every month at Xbox. For whatever reason, they have somewhere it's like, oh, here's one for 2 weeks, here's one for a month, but only halfway through the month do you get it. I don't know why. Why do they name their consoles the way they do? Why can't anything just be simple
right
with Xbox? I don't understand. And then your final game is Lost Planet 2 for Xbox 360. Available February 16th to February 28th.
That's one
I couldn't get scoff. Lost Planet's dope.
Yeah.
The Lost Planet series is really fucking fun.
Thank you, Travis. I do like the Lost Planet series. I remember when the Lost Planet 2 demo came out, and it was like this, it was a multiplayer demo where it was like you and a bunch of people took down one of the creatures. I played the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Lost Planet has always just been like really unique.
It was a good third person shooter for the time. Yeah. It was fun. And Capcom. I mean, Capcom makes cool games.
It also shit over there. Had the weirdest aiming system ever.
Yeah, it was odd.
Yeah.
Again, that was like every game on the market was a third person shooter or action game. And everyone was trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we differentiate ourselves? I guess we'll make a really weird aiming system. Yeah. Like, that was their decision.
Yep.
So you got all those coming at you, Xbox
Live. I will say it is cool that, like, wait, so if you have like a Series X, you can play like a Indiana Jones on there from the Xbox.
Yeah, all of these games, they only put backwards compatible games on Games with Gold. So if you get an Xbox 360 title or an Xbox title through Games with Gold, it will work on every Xbox.
I laugh and I make fun of Xbox and Microsoft is like, what the fuck are they even doing anymore? But I mean, that is kind of cool. It's like, it's not like I can play a PlayStation game on my PS5. So you get points for that.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing, again, like, I'll champion this to the end of my days, but the backwards compatibility support on Xbox is just absolutely stellar. Between that and Game Pass, it's really hard not to recommend an Xbox if you're someone who's like, oh, I'm getting into the gaming for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, okay, just buy the thing I send the product link to you, because if I tell you the name, you'll get confused and you'll buy the wrong thing. But if I just buy the link I send you right now and then subscribe to Game Pass, and it's like you've got 25 years of gaming on your console to experience, like original Xbox games, Xbox 360, all the Xbox One stuff, of course, and then now the next gen stuff, the way that they support. And that's one thing that's been bothering me a little bit with the PlayStation 5 is how often we're seeing games now where, you know, we've got a couple of really nice ones where, like, Days Gone, 60 FPS now, Ghost of Tsushima, 60 FPS now. But a lot of those games where it's like, oh, we can give you more on the Xbox version because of backwards compatibility and how it works on Xbox versus PlayStation. Like, the biggest example is that, like, Star Wars Squadrons, there's 120 hertz mode in Squadrons only on Xbox Series X and S, because it's not a real Xbox Series X game, but the Xbox One X supported 120 hertz displays. Just no games were able to run that fast. And so it was an easy enough of a switch to flip and be like, okay, here, 120 FPS on the next gen Xboxes. But on PlayStation,
completely locked at 60. There's no 120 hertz mode. The only way they could do it was if they actually ported it to PlayStation 5. Same thing with Call of Duty Warzone. That game, there's 120 hertz mode for Warzone on Xbox that looks great and runs really fucking well, only because it's just something the old Xbox code supports, but PlayStation 4 didn't. Why didn't it? Don't know. You'd have to ask Sony, because there's nothing in the PlayStation 4 keeping them from supporting 120 hertz displays. No, it's good to be critical, and it's good to get people excited about that stuff, because I'm telling you right now, the only reason that like PS4 games run on PS5 is because of Xbox. Like, I could almost guarantee you that. Like, if there was any way that they wouldn't have been eviscerated in media outlets, Sony would much rather have been like, all right, you can have your PS4 games on PS5, but you got to buy the remaster. And there's probably still games that'll do that. But if Xbox did not support backwards compatibility the way they do, PlayStation 5 would not play PlayStation 4 games. Full stop. Jim Ryan made it very clear that he doesn't care if you can play your old games because they look old.
He's not wrong. Like
his words, not mine. His words. Why would you ever want to play that game? It looks old.
I think it was Girlfriend Reviews where he was playing, like he found his old Red Dead Redemption CD or disc and just popped it into the Series X, and it just,
yeah, he didn't even know it was just like backwards compatible better, and not only that, but it runs and it had a 4K patch. He's like, man, that was cool just to be like, I figured it would work, but just for it to actually just work. Pop Resistance 2 into your PlayStation 5, see what happens. Listen to the sounds it makes as it tries to read that old Blu-ray disc, and then just screech at you. Don't do that.
No. Poor PS5.
They've got a very special error sound that plays if you try to read a PS3. Just
what if it
plays
worked?
Like the system what music from the PS3? And they just like,
didn't
nope.
tell you.
They just didn't tell you, and no one thought to try.
Right, yeah.
Just this hidden feature. It'll be on IGN's next 10 secret features you didn't know about the PS5.
Resistance 2 for some reason.
Yeah, it's like all these things are like parental controls and like PlayStation Now. And at the very bottom, Resistance 2 works. None of the other PlayStation Nothing 3 else. Games do. But just if you have Resistance 2, put it in, it just plays. We don't know why. We reached out for comment. All we got back was this screeching sound from Sony. That's all for the news. We got a couple of new release dates I'm going to throw out here real quick before we wrap this bad boy up. Returnal from Housemarque, the upcoming PlayStation 5 exclusive title from those guys, has been delayed to April 30th, 2021. So just about a month and a week or so out. It was originally supposed to come out March 20th, something like that, I think. So slight delay there. Typical response, just want to give them more time to polish it up. It's fine. It's COVID stuff. And then just a reminder for anyone who's interested, the Division 2's free next-gen update on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X releases February 2nd, 2021.
Cool.
Nope. No? Ethan's nope. shaking his head. Drew's like, thinking, do I want to reinstall Division 2?
Yeah. Or,
oh, actually, I forgot. You don't. I don't know that you have it on Xbox, because
no, I can't I remember
if it's on Game Pass or not. I don't know if it's on Game Pass, and I don't know if they ever did like cross save or anything. I don't think they did.
Never again.
So
yeah,
nobody doing it. I'm gonna play it. I'll do it.
If when I eventually get a PlayStation, maybe I'll delve back into it. But you know, that's months away.
4K 60 we'll frames per second on both systems. By then. So
yeah,
we'll see. I don't think we're ever getting a Division 3. I think
that series.
I think that ship sailed.
You think they saved the world? That's it.
I don't know. I haven't finished that part.
Aaron Keener's dead.
We win. Yay.
Yeah.
If anything, we're going to get like a Division Legion in a few years. They're going to try to reboot it or something like that. Yeah. Division 2 just did not sell well. I don't see them doing that again right away.
Good times.
But that's it. That's all I got for you guys. Ethan, I appreciate you struggling through with your laptop camera. Every once in a while, it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah. Whenever it decides to work.
Your voice is in sync now. Yeah, it caught up. Whatever Play Store notifications you were dealing with earlier, they finally stopped, I guess, because your camera's like not lagging as much as it was. Tony, she just needed to warm up a little bit, you know.
Maybe I'll try the other electricity flow. We'll see how that goes.
When was the last time you used your laptop, man? You got to give it some love. You know, if you don't use it, it's just gonna sit there and get old and stay shitty.
Yeah, you gotta drive it around every once in a while.
Exactly. You gotta show it some love.
Probably charge the batteries when we recorded in person last time for the draft.
Oh yeah, that probably was it. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to use another laptop. Ethan, I told you, I wasn't joking. I bought you a webcam. Well, it's at Best Buy. We're going to go pick it up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I mean, technically, they're open. We could go pick it up right now. Do you want me to come get you? No? Okay. Then we'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll do it tomorrow, and we're not going to go eat. I had barbecue today. I'm not going to cheat again. We'll get you a nice, sexy webcam. And then maybe next week I'll try to screen capture this. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know how. Oh, I guess I just have to set up OBS.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be too difficult. So maybe you got video podcasts coming at you in your near future, people.
And maybe I'll the YouTube channel get some light bulbs so I don't look like a ghost. Just
turn that light on in the background. Maybe
I just realized
it's light bulbs are out.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, he's just sitting in a dank, dark apartment.
Well, normally I open the whenever the light bulbs are out, I just open the windows, and I got no excuses.
Only thing I gotta do is I gotta fix this autofocus thing. I don't think the camera likes how much I wave my hands around.
Yeah, you have been like kind of
it zooms in and out a lot.
Every time Truffles goes into the shot in the background, it like there.
See, you did it again, but yeah, Truffles wasn't there that time. I don't know why it's doing it. Maybe it was the fan. I don't know. I gotta stabilize the image. Anyway, I forgot to say this earlier, so. If you like a stabilized image, you got to head on over to absentmindedpodcast.com, where you can always find the latest episodes of the show, as well as our archive of absentminded watches. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a voice message with a question, comment, or topic of discussion, or write into us at questions@absentmindedpodcast.com. If you really enjoy the show, you can donate $1, $5, or $10 via our listener support program. It'll help pay for Ethan's webcam. Don't be selfish, people. You already have webcams, okay? Let's bring our boy into 2021. All right,
let's get him looking good.
5 cents a day
can help a poor Ethan get a webcam.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and like, subscribe, and share the show on your podcast platforms of choice. Leaving reviews on the Apple Podcasts is incredibly helpful in getting us into the ears of more people. Of course, I've been one of your hosts, Travis Stockton, at Ray Charizard. With me, as always, on the bottom side of the screen is Ethan Newbold.
Call your mom and tell her you love her.
At Soulsbjorn. And on the top of the screen is Andrew Crandall.
Take it easy, guys. Have a good night.
At Andrew Loves Video Games. Wash your hands. Wear a face mask.
Wear two masks, your face. Apparently.
Double up. Double like up.
A condom.
It's always cool to double up. Buy GME and Bed Bath & Beyond and
to the moon.
Nokia. And
to the moon, hold the line.